Here are the stories we're covering this week in the Category5.tv newsroom. A startup in the UK is making huge waves by lowering the cost of robotic prosthesis using 3D printing technology. A California electronics recycler is fighting to stay out of jail after he admitted to copying thousands of Windows reinstallation disks to use with refurbished PCs. AI researchers at Google have developed algorithms that can assess the risk of heart attacks by analyzing retinal scans. A clock designed to run for 10,000 years is under construction. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
Whether you shop on ThinkGeek, GearBest, B&H Photo Video, eBay, or Amazon, or even if you want a free trial of Audible, you'll find the best deals and support the shows we produce by simply visiting the shopping sites you already frequent by using the links on our website. Visit category5.tv/partners for the full and ever-growing list and help us create more free content like this show. Thank you for shopping with our partners, and thank you for watching.
This is the Category5.tv newsroom, covering the week's top tech stories with a slight Linux bias.
I'm Sasha Rickman, and here are the top stories we're following this week. A UK startup is changing the way we see prosthesis. Open Bionics is working hard to create affordable 3D printed bionic hands that actually work, but are about 30 times cheaper than other prosthesis on the market. They operate using sensors attached to the skin to detect muscle movements. The muscle movements control the hand and open and close fingers. Open Bionics teamed up with the National Health Service in the UK and has been trialing their bionic hands with children as young as 8. Right now, the NHS spends approximately $75 million per year on prosthetic services. Young children often don't have access to these devices because they're not small enough or they're just too expensive. So, for example, their parents can't afford to supply them or the NHS cannot afford to supply the patient with it. The co-founder of the company says seeing a young child being able to move fingers individually for the first time is really cool. Open Bionics is currently working on arms that are straight out of the science fiction universe. Themes from Marvel, Disney, and Star Wars franchises are available. The goal is to make kids feel proud of their prosthesis. This changes the image of prosthesis from a medical device to bionic arms inspired by famous characters. Currently, the arms take roughly 40 hours to 3D print. The person's limb is scanned with a tablet. Then the design of the prosthetic is then planned out. Finally, the prosthetic is 3D printed. A royalty-free agreement has been formed between Disney and Open Bionics. This means themed designs have even more potential. The company sees a future of making prosthesis fashionable and accessible to all. This is one of those really great stories, especially if you know somebody who has had either an amputation or is born with only one limb, and you think to yourself, okay, now it can be like a conversation starter, a trendsetter.
Oh yeah.
But my question to you, Robbie, and you might know the answer to this, is if you're 3D printing something, like, do you 3D print the electric components? Are you 3D printing rubber? What are you doing?
Oh, I got you. Okay. So what's really neat about what they're doing, let's see if I can bring them up. I'm just doing a quick search for Open Bionics. It takes us to openbionics.com. They've got some really cool stuff there. I'm going to show you this, folks. Like, this is the kind of stuff that Sasha's talking about. Can you imagine as a kid how outstanding that would be?
Oh my goodness.
Like, come on. They've made it cool. But what they have is you can actually download blueprints and things like that to 3D print it yourself, Sasha. But so here's the thing. So they've got a shop where you can buy the components. Like, this is the tendon line here, for example. And you may not know what that is, but you will in just a moment. They've got actuators that you can buy as well so that you can set it all up. They even have gel fingertip grips so that it gives you better grip on things and all the needed screws and things like that. So the things that you can't 3D print, you can buy directly from Open Bionics. But as the name suggests, being that they are open, they really have made it an open platform so that you can get a hold of the 3D printing diagrams and print it yourself. Mm-hmm. So then you only have to buy the components that you can't 3D print.
I think this is such a neat idea.
Yeah. So there's the muscle sensor, for example, and the electrodes that that make it work. And you can, if you don't have a 3D printer, you can go ahead and buy a bionic hand already made. And if you look really, really closely, I said you'd be able to tell where those tensors go. Do you see in between the finger joints?
Yeah.
That's where the tensors are. So the actuators pull on that string and make the hand actually operate.
Okay.
How cool is that, right? But I making it this. So that it looks like Iron Man, for example. And a kid that could have that and be like that. Exactly. It just totally changes things. And I love that.
And the thing is, the reason I think a lot of parents in the past with the cost, with it being so prohibitive, because kids grow and they change so much. But if you can bring the cost down, then as kids grow, they can go through different themes, right? Like I remember with my sisters when they had braces, they were excited about choosing their braces colors, right?
Yeah.
You can actually change what your arm looks like really as you grow, and then you can do a Disney theme, and then you can grow into a more adult version later.
Really,
like Iron Man.
Can I show you one more thing, Sasha?
Yeah.
I need to show you this. A search in Google for Open Bionics ADA, ADA, gives you a list. There's the circuit controller, like the controller itself that they manufacture and sell. It looks a lot like an Arduino to me, and all the stuff here. So you can see how they've actually laid this out so that people can get in there. Hey, here's how to print it yourself. Here's how to, you know, you can get here's how to insert the actuators. Here's how to put it all together. Here's how to install. Like the instructions are right on their website. This is the future. I just am blown away. I mean, look at how much detail they've given us here. Yeah, it is Arduino. They're showing you how to install the Arduino software there.
And look how slick the presentation is. Like it's
It's
not clunky in any way. Like it's very clean.
Beautiful. There's how to set up the tendons. Huh. Just unreal, folks. And this is what. So if you were to 3D print it yourself, there you have it. That's what it would look like. Not quite as beautiful as the ones that they do themselves, because they probably have much better 3D printers than a home person does.
Right.
But and it's neat too, Sasha, that you can get into talk to your local library. A lot of libraries, public libraries these days, have 3D printers for public use.
Really?
You can download the blueprints for this and take it to the library to print it.
Wow. I did not know that.
Yeah. Our library here in Barrie has a 3D printer.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
So check into it.
I love when news stories are this like mind-blowingly awesome. This is a great one.
Yeah.
A California electronics recycler is fighting to stay out of jail after he admitted to copying thousands of Windows reinstallation disks to use with refurbished PCs. As an e-waste warrior, Eric Lundgren wished to see discarded computers fixed up and reused rather than crammed into the holes in the ground. To encourage people to refurbish and continue using unwanted Dell PCs, he burned and distributed 28,000 copies of the IT giant's Windows XP and 7 restore disks. These disks can be used to wipe clean a machine's storage and reinstall a fresh copy of Microsoft's operating system. Well, U.S. prosecutors weren't impressed by this caper. Lundgren was taken to court, and in May of last year, he pleaded guilty to conspiracy to traffic in counterfeit goods and criminal copyright infringement. At the time, the 33-year-old Rosetta, California resident was sentenced to 15 months in jail and fined $50,000. His co-conspirator, Robert J. Wolfe of Boca Raton, Florida, at the time was 54 and was placed under 6 months of house arrest and given 4 years probation. But the district court granted Lundgren a stay of sentence, allowing him to challenge the punishment without a trip to the clink. Is this fair, though? The computers he created the computers he created the disks for had valid Windows license keys. The disks were, in one sense, cleaning tools for wiping a machine and preparing it for reuse rather than depriving Microsoft of a Windows sale. It was the value of those disks, however, that were used as the basis for the 15-month term. After all, Dell offers its reinstallation media for free from its website, while Microsoft typically charges for copies of its operating system. Arguing that a copy of Windows is essentially useless without a product key and that all of the recycled machines had their own valid keys, Lundgren's lawyers suggested that what he did was merely make it easier for the owners to get something that they already were entitled to for free. Wow. So in my opinion, this was not even illegal. This is not worth I don't think that's worth a charge. What do you think?
Okay, I read this story, and I tried to wrap my mind around it, because I get what he's doing. I get the copyright laws. I'm inclined to agree with you. I don't think what he was doing was illegal. I think, and again, I'm not a legal professional. This is just my layman's perspective, but I think he got caught in a loophole. I don't think it was necessarily intended for this.
Is it a loophole, or is it the courts not understanding legitimacy of licensing versus media?
Well, that could, yeah, that's probably a better way. They don't not understanding how it works, because I mean, at the end of the day, it's not like he was doing it from a piracy standpoint. I mean, this stuff was already accessible. It was already available.
Yeah. That's such a gray area, though, eh?
It is.
Because the media itself has the software, but you can't activate it without a valid license key, and the license key is valid. So, is it legal? Is it illegal? I think it technically is illegal.
I suppose in a technical sense, I mean, I guess maybe it is, but I don't see that it was done as an illegal act. I don't see that it was done maliciously.
Yeah, that's not a... Come on, you
no, I that's not I, a, I know.
Well,
I
didn't. Ignorance is not innocence. No, however, yeah. this was a kindness, right? This is saving the environment, right? Other than this, these computers would be trash, right?
Right.
So isn't this like an act of earthly kindness?
Is that a court argument? This was an act of earthly kindness.
No, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's not like it was... It wasn't stealing. It was. I mean, the keys were right there. I mean,
sure.
You've got the sticker on the case.
I know. So had he just refurbished these computers and sold them without the media, would he have been cool? Probably, because they're getting them on the media.
I don't know. I mean, I guess at the end of the day, if a portion of the sale was converted as, you know, third party, whatever,
if it checked for the media,
yeah, then would that have then made it now legal?
Who knows?
Like,
anybody know? Comment below. Here's the only crime that I see here is that he didn't install Linux on those computers.
Yes,
I agree. Sustained. Artificial intelligence researchers at Google have developed algorithms that can assess the risk of heart attacks by analyzing retinal scans. By looking for common patterns in images of retinal scans and matching them up with data in the patient's medical records, one algorithm could determine if someone was a smoker or a non-smoker to an accuracy of 71%. Another algorithm that was focused on the blood vessels in the eye could tell if somebody had severe high blood pressure or not, a sign associated with increased chances of stroke. Their models can also predict other factors such as age, gender, and the chance of a heart attack or stroke. Lily Pang, a product manager at Google Brain, explained, given the retinal image of one patient who up to 5 years later experienced a major cardiovascular event such as a heart attack, and the image of another patient who did not, our algorithm could pick out the patient who had the cardiovascular event 70% of the time.
Wow.
While 70% may not seem as accurate as you'd want, according to the researchers, the level of accuracy is actually very similar to the more traditional method of drawing blood to measure cholesterol levels.
Huh.
So this is really good as far as advancement in helping to self-diagnose things before you have to take the extra step. Right?
Witchcraft.
Reminds me of that. You remember, you know, if you look to the left, you're lying.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever that was.
Yes, that's right.
But to think 70% accuracy, that's kind of surprising.
I may have missed it in the story, but how many times did they run this test? Like
what? More than once.
Okay. But we don't
three or four.
Well, like what quantifies 70% accuracy? Was there 10 tests and seven of them got right? Was it 10,000 tests?
This is what we don't know, Jeff.
Let's just assume that this was a very thorough, very scientific test.
It has to be. Before any scientist is going to release a paper, it's going to be thoroughly examined, thoroughly tested.
Right? So now let's think about all of the ways that this could either help us or not. Because I'm thinking about retinal scans of the future when all of a sudden you're denied access to a country because you might have a stroke while you're there.
Okay. I already have a fear of AI looking me in the eye and saying, you are going to die.
Soon.
Okay, so I agree with Sasha on this one. Okay. I think the more we use technology to automatically assert a health condition, it opens the door to discrimination. And I mean, I'm not going to get into a whole...
Are you saying that to know that you are going to have a condition is to discriminate?
So, no, not to know, but to take that information and bar you from something. Like, imagine you go to sign up for insurance.
Yeah.
You know, you want to get health insurance, and your insurance provider comes to you and says, hey, can you just take a look at this little box here? And we go, we've determined that even though you've not been diagnosed, you've had X, Y, Z happen, and now because of that, your premiums are this. Like we're talking about making assumptions based on an imperfect system. 70% is great, but it's not a perfect system 100% of the time.
How did this become that? Sasha, what do you think? How did this become that? Because is this not... I would like to know if I'm going to come down with this problem.
Right. So this is perfect in the hands of the user. This is really great in the way my Fitbit tells me my heart rate. And if my heart rate went off the charts, I would think, okay, something's wrong with me. Same with this retinal scan. If all of a sudden it flagged something, I would think, okay, I need to get myself to a doctor. Now, that being said, as long as it's in my hands and my control, it's great. And once it goes into the hands of somebody making a discriminatory judgment against my health, that's where it's an issue.
I would like to hear from someone who has a condition where they are having to check their cholesterol like that, where you're having to take the prick test on a recurring basis. How much does that cost you? Is it cost prohibitive in some cases? And would it be better if you could just go to the local pharmacy, look into a machine, and have it report back your results just by a retina scan?
Yeah, see, that still freaks me out. But see, okay, this is regularly telling people you're going to die. Because they go, my nose is running. Google what's wrong.
Don't ever.
You're going to die.
Yeah. Like, I have a headache. It could be cancer.
Or an aneurysm.
Don't say aneurysm when someone has a headache.
Exactly.
Especially if it's a migraine. So, it's just not a good idea.
There's somebody who you know is going to scan and be like,
don't ever do it, folks. Google is not a doctor. Yeah.
But it actually is really, like, it's a cool technology. If they can scan your retina and they can tell you, like, they can tell just by your retina if you're male or female, if you're a smoker or non-smoker, if you're about to have a stroke or not, or if you're lying, if you look a little to the left.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. A clock designed to run for 10 millennia without human intervention is now under construction. The 10,000-year clock is a project of the Long Now Foundation, a nonprofit organization that wants to make long-term thinking more common. It's being built on property owned by Amazon founder Jeff Bezos beneath a mountain in the middle of the desert in Texas. There is currently no completion date scheduled for the project. The clock's creator, American inventor Danny Hillis, first publicly shared the concept in an essay for Wired in 1995. In it, he describes his vision of a timepiece that ticks once every year, with a century hand that moves just once every 100 years, and a cuckoo that emerges every 1,000 years. The clock is designed to capture energy from changes in temperature to power its timekeeping apparatus, according to the Long Now Foundation. But it will not be able to store enough energy to display the time unless visitors wind it with a hand-turned wheel. The project has attracted the support of influential artists and thinkers, in addition to Bezos, whose contribution of $42 million makes him the largest financial backer. British musician Brian Eno, famous for his ambient compositions, has built a mechanical melody generator that will produce a different chime sequence every day for 10,000 years. Like the clock hands, the chimes will only work if visitors power the clock. The first prototype of the clock, which was completed back in 1999, is now on display at the Science Museum in London. According to the Long Now Foundation, visitors will be able to hike to the site to see the finished product. Wow. That is neat.
That's cool. So the cuckoo only happens every 1,000 years?
Yes.
What's to say it's going to work? And what's to say anyone is ever going to remember what it's supposed to do?
Well, right. Or what's to, like, what? There's a lot of what's to say, right? Yeah. It's art, though.
I had to search for this Brian Eno because I was curious about who he was. And to think that he's created a melodic mechanism to add to this clock so that it chimes and stuff. That's cool. I was thinking of the guy who did the marbles and played music by having the marbles drop down.
If I was this guy, I would not do a different tone or melody for every day of the 10,000 years because nobody lives that long and nobody's going to record it and pass that down.
Yeah.
You could just loop it, right? You just need a different one for every, like...
Every 1,000 years, it just goes back to the first song.
Exactly. Like,
that's all you need to do.
It's a really long playlist.
Yeah.
Okay, I feel like the obvious question is not being asked, so I'm going to ask it. Why?
Right. The other obvious one is $42 million as the biggest financial backing.
Exactly.
Right? Okay.
This is a lot of money for a thing underground.
Well, why do we need this?
Okay, hold on. Have you ever heard of the Antikythera mechanism? Like, come on. Could you imagine... 10,000 years from now, finding this clock and it still works, and seeing the technology from 2018 and how people were able to come together and manufacture this thing. I have no idea what we're going to have in 10,000 years.
10,000 years, we're going to be living on other planets potentially. But, like, the world is falling apart. Like, this past week, we've had the Arctic is warmer than parts of Europe.
So don't you want a clock to still be here when there is no civilization left?
To read time? Like, what? Why?
So the space aliens know that we were an intelligent race.
Why?
I just explained it to you.
No, you gave me some cockamamie idea.
So the aliens know that there was an intelligent race here 10,000 years ago.
It's neat. That is why. It's really neat. And the fact that visitors have to wind it to power it means not only do they have this really neat thing that somebody is obviously paying a lot of money for.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it means that they'll generate revenue because there'll be tourists who want to go wind this clock and hear the tone
and take a video with it.
And then, who knows, like every 1,000 years starting when, which means that there'll be people camped out like they do like at the casino for the slot machines trying to wait for the cuckoo every 1,000 years. Not every 1,000 years. They're just hoping they're getting one.
And look, if you're Jeff Bezos, because you can.
Yeah.
Because you can.
See, and that's the most sensible answer that I have heard.
There you go.
Because you can. But
Try to figure out art.
You know what? I think that's my problem. I don't understand art. I really don't.
Just appreciate it.
I have a very literal mind. And so, like, I don't understand Picasso. I, you know, somebody like puts a pencil on a table and they go, it's expressive. I don't get it. No, that's a writing tool. So
it's a clock. It's a clock. That's all. It's just, it's not even, it's barely art. It's just a clock that moves really slow for a very long time. It's like, what is time, right? Maybe that clock is moving very fast some beings.
I think the problem is he's just making too much money. He doesn't know what to do with it. Sure, I will take a little bit of that money. You know what? We will build a Raspberry Pi clock. You give us that $40 million.
Can I, just as the story comes to a close, can I just put a different spin on it and say, hope for the future? To think that 10,000 years from now, human beings, in whatever state that they happen to be in 10,000 years from now, are going to observe this art piece and say, wow. To think, so here in 2018, that we're looking forward to 10,000 years in the future and saying, we will still exist, we will be prosperous, we will rule the world 10,000 years from now, and someone will observe this and say, wow.
You know what will be even cooler? If in 10,000 years from now, in a cave in the middle of the desert of Texas is actually under an ocean. That would be neat, because the world could change by then. We've been shifting like crazy, and we might still continue shifting.
I hope that wherever it is that they put this thing, something happens in like the first year, and it gets like completely unutilized. So I could just laugh and say, why? Why?
Big thanks to Roy W. Nash and our community of viewers for submitting stories to us this week. Thanks for watching the Category5.tv newsroom. Don't forget to like and subscribe for all your tech news with a slight Linux bias. And for more free content, be sure to check out our website. From the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Rickman.